Turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We're going to, on this first Sunday of 2018, amen, we're going to start in Ruth, chapter 1. And I would also ask you to mark in your Bibles, because we're going to go there next, is John, chapter 20. We're going to start in Ruth, chapter 1, and then our second place, and we can save a little time if you mark it now, is John chapter 20. Praise God. Amen. I believe God today.
Amen.
And I believe God is speaking unto us and will speak unto us. So we're going to start in Ruth chapter 1. And then our next place, not our last place, but our next place will be John chapter 20. So mark it now. In this way, when it's time to turn there, we can turn there together quickly. Amen.
Amen.
So we praise God today. And in Ruth chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 10 down to verse number 16. Amen. We're going to read from verse 10 down to verse number 16. But before we read, we're going to pray. And then we'll read the scripture. And we'll just incline our ear unto God's voice today so that we can hear Him. How many of you want to hear God today?
Amen.
Amen. And not only do I want to hear God, I need to hear God.
Amen.
Amen. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yes.
So I need to hear God today. But let's pray first. Father, we bless you. We bless you again. We lift you up and we magnify you because you are God.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for this opportunity one more time to be in your presence and to hear your voice.
Yes.
Father, it's our prayer today that you will speak unto us from heaven.
Yes.
And Father God, that you will give us revelation, that you, O God, will give us enlightenment, O God.
Yes.
And Father, that you will dispel confusion and give us clarity.
Yes.
And Father, we're believing, O God, that you have a word for us for our lives at this very hour. And so God, we ask you to speak.
Yes.
We ask you to lead us. We ask you to guide us, O God. And Father, we thank you, O God, that you are faithful to do it. Father God, we believe we shall be changed.
Yes.
And God, we give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you use me for your glory.
Yes,
use me,
Lord.
O Father God, Jesus. As I humble myself under your hand, may you be exalted today. And Father God, may you and only you be glorified and magnified, for you deserve all of the glory.
Yes.
And we give it to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Word of God can change your life.
Yes,
amen. Amen. The Word of God can change your life. And I'm believing that the Word of God will change our lives today. So we're in Ruth chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10. We're going to read down to verse number 16 together. And it says, "And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee. For where you go, I will go.
Yes.
And where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Our title today is my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. My God, comma, my God. This story here, the book of Ruth, in the opening of the chapter, we understand that Ruth was faithful unto Naomi. Naomi was married to Elimelech, and there came a time where they were from Bethlehem, and they went to Moab, and Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, and their two sons each married a woman, they got a wife, in Moab. But all three of the men, the husband and Naomi's two sons, died. And so Naomi now, finding that the famine in Bethlehem was over, is returning, and her daughter-in-laws are going with her, Ruth and Orpah. But as we picked up, Ruth is saying, "Why are you going with me? I don't have any more sons to give you. I'm too old. And even if I could bear sons tonight, would you wait for them to get older and then refrain from getting married until they were grown?" And she says, "Of course not. So why don't you just go back to your land and to your families?" And it says that Orpah, amen, one of the daughters-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law and returned home. And as she's walking away, Naomi looks at Ruth and says, she's going back to her people and to her gods. Why don't you do the same thing? And Ruth said to her, "No, don't ask me to leave. I'm not going to leave. Wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you stay, I'm staying. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." That was a powerful declaration right there. Because she was from Moab, Ruth was. They did not believe in the God of heaven. But there was something about how Naomi lived in her presence all these years that Ruth said, "Listen, the God you serve, I want that God to be my God. I want your God to be my God." And notice she didn't just say, "Listen," she said, "you know, no, I'm going to go with you. You serve God, I'll serve God too." It's a deeper way that she expressed it. She said, "Your God will be my God." In other words, she was saying, no, I'm getting into a relationship with this God of heaven. And he's not just going to be God to me, he's going to be my God. And the simple message of this word today that God has for us is that, yes, he's God. He knows he's God. And you know he's God. But the question really becomes, is he your God? In other words, when you think about God, when you speak about God, when you refer to God, is he God? Or is he my God?
Yeah.
And God is saying unto us today, there's a difference.
Amen.
There's a difference if you refer to me as God. In a general, sort of generic sense, God is going to do this for me. God is going to bless me. God is going to heal me. And if you say, my God,
amen,
is going to bless me. My God is going to heal me. My God is going to deliver me.
Amen.
One word, two letters. And someone says, that's all it is. And it can't be that much of a difference. One word, two letters. But God said that what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Things that we say or don't say can determine whether we experience death or life, or to what degree we experience life.
Yes.
Some of us experience life, the good life of God and the blessed life of God, to a certain degree because we say things to a certain level. And so maybe by saying God, you receive certain blessings and favor and instruction and goodness and all that. But how many of you know that there yet could be something better? There yet could be something more.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good, but can it be better? And once you get the better, can it be the best? And if you're getting the blessing because you refer to God as God, God is saying to you, listen, there's something more, there's something better, there's something different. Things will change when I go from just being God to being your God. Amen. When you start, when I get as a man of God and a person of God, not just refer to God when I'm talking and God when I'm praying and God when I'm believing, but it's my God.
Amen.
Amen. It's my God. My God's going to deliver me. My God is going to do it. Amen. My God, my God. And see, we see something here. Verse number 16, Ruth said, and she made a decision. That's all it was. A decision. I believe God is saying unto you today, make the decision to not refer to me simply as God, but as your God. Amen?
Amen.
As my God. Because Ruth made that decision. She said, you know what, Naomi? No. I'm not leaving. Your God will be my God. And she said that in verse 16. And we don't hear from her again for the rest of chapter 1. But we pick up in chapter 2, and in verse 2, Ruth speaks. And she says to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She said, listen, we're poor. We're coming back. We have no man to take care of us. We have no way to sustain ourselves. And she said, let me go and glean corn. And by gleaning corn, she was going to go out to the fields at the time of harvest. And God had made a law for all of those who had fields and would harvest their fields. He said, listen, first of all, don't harvest the corners. Mm-hmm. Right? You have a field, but don't harvest the corners. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, when you're harvesting your grain, if some drops to the ground, leave it there. For the poor to pick up. That was a law. Right? God established that as a law. And that picking up of grain that had dropped by the poor was called gleaning. They would go out. And so when Ruth was saying, let me go glean, she was saying, let me go to a field where they're harvesting. And as they drop things, I'm going to pick it up. And I'll be out there, and I'll be out there gleaning all day, and I'll come back with whatever it is that I'm able to pick up. And Naomi said, go to her, my daughter, go ahead. In verse 3 it says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Mm-hmm. And it says here, and her hap was to light on a part of the field that belonged unto Boaz, who was a member of the family.
Yes.
Her hap. In other words, what it's saying is she just happened.
Yeah. Amen.
Of all the fields in Israel, she just happened to come to a field that was owned by a family member. How many of you know that didn't just happen?
Amen.
How many of you know that that was the hand of God guiding her to this field?
Yeah.
To Boaz's field. Uh-huh. And I believe that what happened in Ruth's life was a direct result of her making a declaration that the God of heaven was not just God, but he was my God.
My God.
Because see, once she made that declaration, God is my God, God now is making things happen in her life.
Wow.
Her life began to change. And that's what God is saying to us. When you make me your God, change happens.
Wow.
You go to a different level from just this God. Oh, he's God. He's God. He's God. But he's my God. Mm. And now things begin to happen. Things begin to change. And she went out and she started to glean. And she was led to the right place. She was led to the field of a rich family member. And we know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. Amen. That not only did she glean there and was able to take care of Naomi, but later on, amen, she married Boaz. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he became their kinsman redeemer and redeemed their property that they had left behind before. She then had a son with Boaz named Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Which means then that Ruth, after making God her God, not only was guided, she was now this Moabite woman who doesn't know God, who's coming back with a widow woman. Neither of them have any money. Neither of them have any way of caring for themselves. But once she made God her God, things began to happen. And now she gets led aright. She starts to receive guidance. Amen. She starts to receive guidance. And then she receives favor, because Boaz even told his men, don't pick up and just let her glean as much as she wants. That was favor. Amen. She had provision, because now she came home and she had enough to take care of herself and Naomi. And she had honor, because she became the great-grandmother of King David. A Moabite woman. Yeah. A woman who didn't even have any relationship with God. But when she decided that God was not just going to be God, but God was going to be her God, things changed in her life. And so God is saying unto us today, no. Listen, we got to go to this place where it's not just God bless me. No, my God.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
My God. Amen. My God is leading me. My God loves me. My God is going to do this for me. My God is going to quiet my enemies. Amen. It's not just God is going to. My God. Because I'm his son. I'm his daughter. He's my father. He's my God.
Wow.
I ask you to turn to keep in place John chapter 20. And let's look at John chapter 20. And we see in there, glory to God. We see in there, in John chapter 20, I don't know if I told you where we were going in John chapter 20. Because I don't know where we're going. Praise God. John chapter 20, verse 19. Well, we're not going to read everything, but we're going to summarize some things there. But this is after Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and he appeared unto his disciples. And his disciples were behind locked doors because they were scared. They were scared of what was going to happen at the hand of the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're scared. They're behind locked doors. And Jesus came unto them, right? And he told them, peace be unto you. And then he showed them his hands. He showed them his side. And they were glad that it was the Lord. And he said in verse 21, peace be unto you as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And we jump down to verse number 24. And it says that Thomas, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came the first time. And it says, the other disciples said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas had some doubts, right? And this is where we get the phrase doubting Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. Thomas has some doubts. And he said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, I hear all this stuff you're saying, that the Lord came back, you're behind locked doors, and he just showed up. Okay. But I'll tell you what. Until I see it, I'm not believing. Until I can put my finger into the nail print in his hands, until I can thrust my hand into his side, I'm not believing anything you guys are saying. You can tell me all you want, but I'm not believing that. Mm-hmm. So the scripture says, amen, glory to God, on verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. I hesitate here because I hear God saying something. This happened after 8 days. It was 8 days later. Thomas wasn't there the first time when Jesus showed himself, but 8 days later, Jesus came and showed himself to Thomas. And I feel God stopping us here for a second, because that 8 days, how many of you know that 8 days is important? Because in the Bible, eight is the number of new beginnings. Right?
Amen.
Eight is the number of new beginnings, right? When God flooded the earth and got rid of all mankind, he had a new beginning. He started with eight people. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. A new beginning. He said, I'm starting all over again, and I'm starting over with eight people. But God also said that when a leper had leprosy, and if the leper was cleansed, that the leper had to show after he was cleansed, he'd go to the priest, and the priest would perform ceremony over him, and he would wash his clothes and everything else, and he had to stay outside the camp for another 7 days. Then on the eighth day, he could come back into the camp. Because the eighth day was a new beginning for him. And this is what happened, if you remember, when Naomi and Aaron spoke against Moses? And God said to them, why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And God made Naomi leprous.
Yes.
And Moses prayed for her. Glory to God. Moses prayed for her. And God said, wait a minute, Moses. If her father has spit in her face, she would have to stay outside the camp for 7 days.
Right.
He said, let her stay outside the camp for 7 days and then enter again. Mm-hmm. Why? Because see, after 7 days comes what? 8 days. And now she can come back. She has a new beginning. So eight is the number of new beginnings. Mm-hmm. So this 8 days is not just here for no reason. Something is going on here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Help me today, Lord. Something is going on here. I believe this right now. See, you know what? And think about Naomi for a second, right? She's outside the camp. She can't come into the camp. There are some things that she doesn't have access to. But on the eighth day, she can come back and have that new beginning. Day eight. But here's the thing. How must the leper or Naomi must have felt on day seven? You understand? I'm not in the camp yet, but I'm at day seven. And see, on day seven, I can still be outside the camp, but I'm happy. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because tomorrow is day eight. And I'm going to have a new beginning. And I just hear God saying this, that somebody needs to be happy today, because today is day seven.
Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody needs to be happy today, because today is day seven. Stuff is still messed up in your life, but today is day seven. Amen. Your finances are still messed up. Your life is still messed up. The promises are still unfulfilled. Your children are acting crazy. Your money is acting funny. Your dog is acting like a cat. Your cat's acting like a dog. Your fish is swimming upside down and backwards. You got all kinds of things messed up in your life. But today is day seven.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And if you can get it in your spirit, somebody needs to hear this today. If you can get it into your spirit that today is day seven, you can lift up your hands right where you are and be happy. You can lift up your hands right where you are and bless God. Somebody's looking at you saying, what are you so happy for? You still got all this stuff going on in your life. You say, yeah, but today is day seven. See, you don't understand. Today is day seven. And see, tomorrow is day eight. That's the day of what? New beginning. Some new stuff going to break off in my life. Why? Because today is day seven. Oh, glory to God. I just want to keep saying that to myself. Today is day seven. Today is day seven. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. Today is day seven.
Amen.
Yeah, I have to be happy on day seven because I'm about to cross the threshold into a new beginning.
Amen.
Glory to God on day seven. Amen. Amen. I'm telling myself that today. Amen. Today is day seven.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody going to know what I'm talking about. Hey, how you doing today? Hey, I'm great. Why? Today is day seven. Glory to God. I'm about to get into my new beginning. Today is day seven. Somebody needs to keep telling yourself, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let yourself hear you say, today is day seven.
Amen.
Glory to God. Today, if they say, no, see, God talking to faith people right now. He ain't talking to church people right now. Church people going, come on, man, get back to the scripture. But faith people say, oh, no, today day seven.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory to God. Today is day seven. Today is day seven. So he comes to Thomas, amen, and the Bible tells us explicitly, right, it was on the eighth day. Mm-hmm. He comes to his disciples. And Thomas is there this time. And Jesus said, peace be unto you. And then Jesus goes right to Thomas. And he said, Thomas, reach your finger in here, behold my hand. Put your finger in there, thrust your hand into my side. And look how Thomas responded once he did. He said what? My Lord
and my God.
And my God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Thomas didn't say, the Lord and God. Right? He made it personal. He said, when this happened, he said, my Lord and my God. And I believe something, right? That right then and there, things changed for Thomas. Because Thomas was a doubting person. Thomas was an unbelieving person. Thomas was a person who had a whole lot of questions. Thomas was a person who had a whole lot of fears. But I believe that when he said that Jesus was his Lord and his God, that all those unsettled things in his life got settled. I'm telling you, listen, if there are some things in your life that are unsettled, some things that are messed up, there's some fears, there's some turbulence in your life, listen, you can get your life settled when you now just get to this point of, this is my God.
Amen.
Thomas is no longer walking around with this doubt and this cynicism. He looked at Jesus and he said, my Lord and my God. I believe right then and there, Thomas was good. I think Thomas was settled. He had no more fear. He had no more, amen. He was courageous. He was strong. Things changed in his life when God became his God. None of this, oh, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. But is he your Lord? Is he your God? Mm. Amen. And Thomas, I believe, at this point, goes from being this doubting, fearful, cynical person to a person who is settled and at peace and is strong and is ready to go forward being used by God, because now he understands something. Jesus, you are my God. Amen. And if you're my God, nothing can stop me. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing can stop me.
Amen.
I want to be settled. Do you know the devil comes into your life trying to just make you unsettled?
Yep.
He sends pieces of mail and email your way trying to get you unsettled. Yep. Trying to get you to respond with your emotions. Trying to get you off point. Trying to get you away from God. Trying to trouble you. Mm. But listen, when you know God is your God, that settles things for you.
Wow.
Amen. Because if he's your God, then you understand I'm his child.
Yeah.
And he's going to take care of me.
Amen.
Look at what Jesus said. Listen, oh, glory to God for this. It's in John 20, right above this. Glory to God. Remember he came out of the tomb and Mary was holding on to him? Mm-hmm. And the Bible actually says that she was clinging to him in verse number 16. She's clinging to him. And Jesus said, touch me not. Don't cling to me, Mary. Look what he said. He said, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Look at these words. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father
and your Father.
And your Father. Not the Father. And your Father. Mm-hmm. To my God and your God. What was Jesus trying to do? Listen, I know they're fearful. I know they're running for their lives. I know they're upset. I know they're troubled. I know they're crying. I know they're messed up. But listen, you go tell them that I'm going to ascend, amen, to my Father and their Father, to my God and their God. And I believe what Jesus was saying is that God, from the Old Testament, he told Jeremiah, he said that there was going to come a time he was going to restore Israel, and he said, they will be my people, and I will be their God. Mm-hmm. Not I will be God, because he always was God, amen? Right? I'm not going to be God, because I always, I've been God from the beginning.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time where they will be my people and I will be
their God.
Their God. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to let them know. That time has come. Amen.
Amen.
Where we don't have to refer to God as some generic, He's God. He's my God.
Amen.
Amen. He's my God. I'm making it personal. Amen. And you think about it. Think about the difference between you saying, you know, when you put my in front of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my boy. That's my girl. That means something, right? Right? Even sometimes you get all possessive and you talk about that's your kids running in the house. I love parents when they let the kids know about home ownership. Because the kid lives in the house, the kids say, this is my house, I live right there, that's my house, that's my house, that's my house, that's my house. Come over my house, can you come over my house, mom, can you come over my house, can my house, my house, my house. But you running your mother's house. You'll find out real quickly whose house it is. You'll find out real quickly it ain't your house. Amen. You start running in the house, and your mother say, boy, you better stop running in my house.
We're slamming doors.
Yeah, we slamming doors in my house. You find out real quickly whose house it is. Amen. It's my house. But it's something about that word mine. It can be possessive, you know. That song by who is Temptations, right? My girl.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's my girl. Mm-hmm. I got that's my ringtone when my wife called me on my cell phone. Oh, everybody know. I can be in the middle of the meeting, right? Ding, 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 ding. That's my wife. Hold on. No. You hold that thought right there, my wife. My girl.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. There's something special when you put mine in front of it.
Amen.
Amen. It's different. It goes to a new level. Amen. This is, you know, it becomes personal. It becomes more intimate. It becomes more intense. Amen. No. When it's mine. Amen. But think about it. When God goes from just being God to you to being my God,
amen.
Things begin to change. Things begin to change. You know, in our scripture text today, and I pray you understand that God, when He gives us our confessions every week, many times it's related to the word He's saying unto us. If you look in your bulletin, because in our bulletin, as our confession for this week, we had Psalm 31, 14 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 14 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, what? You are
my God.
My God. Fellas, the Lord gave me the scripture yesterday morning for our confession. And then this morning, as I'm just preparing myself for the word today, the Lord said, you should ask a question. I said, what's that question? What do you mean by but? So I went to the scripture and I said, but I trust in you, Lord. And He said, yeah, you should ask the question. What do I mean by but? And I said, Lord, I understand. I'm coming in the middle of a conversation. Because somebody said, but there was something that was before that.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I started to read before that. And I want to read in your hearing verses 9 through 13. And this is what it says in the New Living Translation. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and my soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. I am scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way. I'm ignored as if I were dead, as if I were a broken pot. I have heard many rumors about me, and I am surrounded by terror. My enemies conspire against me, plotting to take my life.
Wow.
That's before the but. Wow. Amen. Before the but, I'm in distress. Before the but, I'm crying because tears blur my eyes. Before the but, I'm weak. My body is withering away. My soul is withering away. Before the but, my strength is leaving me. I'm wasting away. Before the but, I'm scorned by enemies, despised by neighbors, and betrayed and abandoned by friends. Before the but, I'm ignored as if I'm dead. Before the but, people are talking about me behind my back like a dirty dog. Before the but, I'm surrounded by terror. Before the but, they're trying to take my life.
But
I'm trusting in you, oh Lord. Why? Because you are my God. Amen. Glory to God. You mean to tell me that you can go from being in distress, from being weak, to withering away, to crying your eyes out, from being scorned, from being despised, from being rejected, from being abandoned, from being talked about, from being ignored, from being terrorized, and you can say, but it's all good? How can you do that? Because you say, I'm trusting in you, O Lord, because you are my God. I'm telling you, when you have God being your God instead of just God, life can be coming against you in all kinds of ways, and you still can stand flat-footed without blinking, without stuttering, and say, it's still all good because you are my God.
Amen.
Glory to God. And if you're my God, I know you're going to bring me through this. If you're my God, I know you're going to help me overcome this.
Yes.
If you're my God, I know this is not going to end this way. Amen. I know that. Amen. Listen, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do unto me? He is my God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we shall remember the name of the Lord. Uncle Walker, he is my God. Amen. The Lord's my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is my God. So, come on. Bring it on. Amen. Bring it on. Right? Because as long as God is my God, I got a but to everything you bring against me. You talking about me? But I'm trusting in God. Why? Because he is my God. Glory to God. Huh? What? Business is going down? That's okay. Amen? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. And I'm saying, he's my God. And if he's my God, guess what he is? He's my provider. How about that? Amen?
Huh?
Oh, you're coming up against me? Oh, you're going to try to take stuff from me? That's okay. Because he's my God. And if he's my God, he's my protector. Amen. See, it's personal. See, I don't worry about you because, see, I got a God who I can call my own.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not your God, but that's up to you to say. But for me and my house, this is my God. And God's going to change things in my life. He can make me go from being in distress to rejoicing, amen? Because he can always let me know, day 7, amen? And I can always be happy because my God's going to deliver me, amen? My God is going to do it. Not God, my God.
My God.
Somebody just said, they keep saying, my God, my God, my God, amen? Where you going? I'm going to pray to my God. You mean your God, my God.
My God.
You can go pray to God if you want. I'm praying to my God. I'm believing God. That's fine, but I'm believing my God. I'm believing God's going to open up the door for me. That's good, but I'm believing my God.
Amen.
See, that's a deeper belief right there. Amen. My God is going to do it. Amen. Ruth made a declaration. Your God's going to be my God. Her life changed. Thomas made a declaration, my Lord and my God. His life changed, amen. The psalmist made a declaration right here, amen. Yeah, I'm going through all kinds of things. People treat me like a dirty dog, leaving me and treat me bad, but I'm still trusting in you. I'm okay. I'm hanging on. Why? Because you are my God. Amen. 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 It changes things. The last thing, we're going to get out of here, amen, is Psalm number 20. It's not 22. You know what I'm thinking of Psalm 22? Praise be unto God. The Psalm 22, but we're going to Psalm 18. But Psalm 22, praise God, talking about my God, my God. You know, Psalm 22 and 1 is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, which Jesus said on the cross. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that something? Yeah. Jesus is not on the cross going, God, God, why did you forsake me? What did he say? My God, why did you forsake me? And if Jesus talks in terms of my God, and he said, go tell my brethren, because listen, I'm a brother of Jesus. You're a brother of Jesus. Amen. 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 We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Jesus is our big brother. Amen. Yeah. And if that's his father, he said, that's my father, that's my God, then guess what? That's my father, and it's my God too.
Amen.
Glory to God. Lord, you are my God.
My God.
But in Psalm 18, and we're getting out of here. Amen. Psalm 18. I love this verse. David, I think this is also, you see this psalm, Psalm 18. It's in 2 Samuel. I don't know exactly where it is, but Bible scholars, you can look up after it. I mean, check your study Bible. But David wrote this psalm as God delivered him from his enemies. And I love this, these verses at verse 28 and 29. Amen. It says in verse 28, for thou, talking to God, will light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. Yeah. See, I just praise God for that, amen. Because, see, my God's going to enlighten my darkness. God, my God's going to, see, if you got some confusion right now, you got to understand, your God will enlighten your darkness. Mm-hmm. Your God will dispel the darkness, the confusion, the nonsense, the noise, and give you clarity of thought, clarity of vision, clarity of purpose. And see, right now, that's what we need, amen. There's a whole lot of noise in the atmosphere. There's a whole lot of distractions in the atmosphere. And as people of God, we need clarity of thought, clarity of vision, clarity of speech, clarity of purpose.
Yeah.
And your God will dispel darkness and give you light. How many of you know it? If right now you're struggling with what direction to go and you don't quite know what's going on, you can wait for God to do it, but I tell you what, when you think your God is going to do it, this is what David said, right? My God enlightens my darkness.
Amen.
Praise God. And then verse 29, he says, for I have run through a troop, and by my God, I have leaped over a wall.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. He's saying what? That wall was in my way, but by my God, I just hopped right on over it. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you got some obstacles in their way today? Some people are in your way. Some things are in your way. Some problems are in your way. Some troubles are in your way. Things from the past are in your way. But by your God, you will just jump right over it. Your God will lift you up out of it. Your God will take you over it. Amen. Your God will do it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Jesus.
But oh, my God will do it. My God will do it. God will do it. Yeah, yeah. But see, here's the thing, though. How many, see, I want, Lord, I need it now. Anybody got needs right now?
Yes.
I believe God saying, listen, yeah, yeah, in my grace and mercy, amen, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to bless this and so, bless this and some stuff going to trickle down to you. Amen. But to me, that's the difference between getting crumbs and actually sitting at the table. And I said to you last week, I ain't interested in the crumbs, amen. I want to be seated at the table.
Amen.
I want to be seated at the table. In other words, I want the blessing in all its fullness. I don't want the leftover blessing that you got and it comes into my life and I feel like something. No, I want it all. And I believe this, that God is ready to pour out things on those who are ready to declare he's my God.
Amen.
Because there's so many things going on. There's other people making declarations of who they believe in, what party affiliation they got, and all these things. But who is God to you? Amen.
Amen.
He is my God. He's the God of heaven. He's the God who made it all. But he is my God. Amen. My God, my God. And I'm going to do some great things because my God is going to help me. My God is going to bless me. My God is going to enlighten me. My God is going to deliver me. My God is going to do that. Amen. And God is encouraging you. I'm encouraged today. I'm leaving out this place, amen. And my God.
Amen.
Tells us to know today. I'm going upstairs to read the word of my God.
Amen.
I'm going to pray to my God. My God. Amen. It's personal. Amen. That's my girl. That's my husband. That's my wife. That's my car. We say a whole lot of minds. We say a whole lot of minds to everything else.
Yep.
But God is my God.
My God.
Amen. How many of you ready to run through troops and leap over walls?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you ready, amen, to walk in clarity, to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing at exactly the right time?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you ready to have things settled in your life like Thomas? Amen.
Amen.
All the confusion and fear and doubts and all the unbelief gone because you say, my God, amen. Amen. I'm ready for some change. Amen. I'm ready for things to just happen to me like it happened to Ruth. Amen.
Amen.
She just happened to come into a blessing. She just happened to come on the field. And then that's what I'm saying. How did that just happen to you? I say, oh, my God.
Yes. Amen.
And just like salvation, all it is a decision for you and I to make.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Is he God or is he my God? God.
My
Amen.
God.
I hear God saying unto today, amen. God loves us so much, y'all. And we're closing. We're getting to leave, amen. God loves us so much. Amen. And he gave his son just so he could have a relationship with us. He gave his only begotten son. And he loves us so much. Amen. And that this kind of hands off, not hands off, what do you call it? Arm's length. Arm's length. There shouldn't be arm's length between us and God.
Amen.
Amen. It's not. No. And I think some of the way we always want that more intimacy and closer. Sister Nell said in Sunday school today, God said, "You draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you." And I'm telling you, when you start thinking that God is my God, glory to God. Amen. You're going to keep coming. And you're going to come even more and more. And you're going to come with a greater expectation because you're going to come with a boldness and a confidence. My God is going to do this.
Amen.
Amen. Not God. My God. Amen. Because my God loves me because I'm his child.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Be excited today. Amen. My God.
Amen.
Amen. Someone out there needs to be excited today too because today is day seven for you.
Yes.
You've been going through some stuff, but today is day seven.
Day seven.
Amen. Glory to God. Lord, I love that word right there. Day seven. Today is day seven.
Amen.
Glory to God. I've been going through some things, but today is day seven. That means tomorrow is day eight.
Amen.
That's the eighth number of new beginnings. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's going to begin anew. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Today is day seven.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I don't know why God didn't give me that as the word today. Day
seven. Day
seven. Day seven. Praise God. But we got it anyway, right?
Amen.
We got it both. We got day seven and my God, praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet today, amen. Praise God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, we're going to pray to the God of our salvation. What a mighty God we serve, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we bless you today, hallelujah. We lift up our hands in the sanctuary and we bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for what you've spoken unto us today. You are my Lord and my God. You are our God. We are your people and you are our God. Hallelujah. Father, we heard you speak today. And Father God, that as we claim you as our own, my God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Things will change in our lives just like it changed in the lives of Naomi and of Thomas and of the psalmist. Oh God, we can see change come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can go, oh God, from having lack to having more than enough like Naomi. We can be directed by the Holy Spirit to the right place at the right time.
Yes.
We can be given provision and protection and favor and honor because you are our God. Hallelujah. And your love is upon us. Father, we know that like Thomas, things can be settled in our lives. Hallelujah. There are some things that are unsettling to us, oh God. Things that come and make us upset. But Father God, when we know that you are our God, things become settled for us, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we declare that you are our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we just pray now that you will change our vocabulary.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That as we go forward from this day, oh God, we will claim that we're speaking to my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm expecting to hear from my God today. Hallelujah. My God is going to bless me. Hallelujah. My God is healing me right now. My God is delivering me. Hallelujah. Change our vocabulary, oh Lord, that we may see change come into our life as our God shows himself strong on behalf of his people.
Yes.
Father, we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm praying right now for all of those who have been going through, praying for those who have been struggling with finances and with health, with those who have been struggling with decisions to make, with those who have been struggling with people and enemies coming up against them, with those who have been struggling, oh God, with challenges of every kind. And Father, I thank you right now that for them, we declare over their life that today is day 7. Praise be unto God. And Father God, we're believing that a new day is on the horizon, that they are standing on the threshold of a new day. Hallelujah. Help them to keep the faith, oh God. Help them to walk by faith and not by sight. Help them to rejoice even now, oh God, in the midst of day 7, knowing that day 8 is on the horizon. Hallelujah. So Father, I pray unto God for every blinded eye to be open to the truth. Hallelujah. That if you have them on the threshold of newness of life, speak unto their heart today, God, and let them know that today is day 7. And Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we just pray that the word is spoken in our hearts today, that God, you will seal it by your Holy Spirit. We know the enemy's going to come and try to snatch it away from us. But the devil is a trespasser. We plead the blood of Jesus against him right now. And Father, we thank you that this word is sown deeply in our heart. And Father, you shall water it by your Spirit and bring forth a bountiful harvest to the praise of your glory. And for that, we thank you. You are our Lord and our God. My God, my God. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I praise God. He's my God. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's your God too. But you got to claim him for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You got to claim him for yourself. Young people, you got to claim God for yourself. He's your mother's God, but is he your God?
That's right.
You got to claim him for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. I praise God for that. Amen. You know, I was reading also, amen, that Isaiah said,